We have this message to proclaim, that he died for all people, that all who would put their trust in him can be saved. Father, we pray that we'll be faithful this week to proclaim that message, and that if there are any here today who have not yet trusted in Jesus, that they will put their trust and faith in him, open their hearts to him, and be saved through his finished work at Calvary. We thank you for the Lord's table that we can partake of again as believers. It is such a joy and a privilege to do so, and we pray that you will bless that time in just minutes away when we will partake of those elements. We praise you for what they stand for. Thank you that we can be here today to worship you, to seek your face, to hear your word proclaimed, to be drawn closer to you and to one another. You have called us to fellowship, to community as believers, the body of Christ, each of us here with a special calling and gifting to serve you and your body here. Thank you for this time together, for this hour. We commit it to you and pray that all that is said and done will bring honor and glory to your name. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our scripture reading this morning is from Acts chapter 12. So we're going right to the history of the church in Acts chapter 12. Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter, or it should be after Passover actually, to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side, raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself, and bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he says unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee, and follow me." And he went out and followed him, and wist not where that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leads into the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, "Thou art mad." But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, "It is his angel." But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, "Go show these things unto James and to the brethren." And he departed and went into another place. Now as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers what was become of Peter. And when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and there abode. And Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon, but they came with one accord to him, and having made Blastus, the king's chamberlain, their friend, desired peace, because their country was nourished by the king's country. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, "It's the voice of a god and not of a man." And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. But the word of God grew and multiplied. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem, and when they had fulfilled their ministry, and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. Okay. Let's have a word of prayer together. Father, how we thank you and praise you for your word to our hearts today. We thank you, Lord, that you are sovereign in all your ways. And Lord, we don't always understand why things work out the way they do, but we just thank you that you are in charge and that we can trust you. Put our faith and confidence in you, knowing that you will do the right thing. And so we pray, Lord, that your will be done in this service today and in all that we do in the coming days, that we might be pleasing in your sight and do your holy will. We thank you for hearing and answering our prayers. We thank you, Lord, for your constant care. We thank you for the new baby that's been born. We pray your blessings upon her and her family. Ask you to comfort them and bless them, strengthen them, help them, make the adjustments necessary. We pray your will be done there. We pray for the Fazio family, that you will comfort their hearts. And for any of them who may not know you, we pray that you draw them to yourself, to true salvation in Christ. We pray this morning, our Father, your blessings upon the rest of this service today and throughout the day, that we might be pleasing to you. We pray, dear Father, for any who are ill today. We ask you to strengthen and help them, meet their needs. We pray for our country. We think of all that we need, our Father, in this nation, and all of the turmoil and strife that's going on and the divisions. And we pray that something could be done to unite our country together in one accord, that we might be able to serve you in a better way and bring honor to your name. Lord, forgive us. Forgive us for our sins. Help us to walk in fellowship with you. May your will be done. Thank you for all your goodness to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's turn once again to Acts chapter 12. Once again, we find the church in great danger. We've seen already some of the persecution that had taken place. Stephen being stoned to death, and all these other problems that had begun. The church had been spread abroad because of persecution. And that was religious persecution. Now we find the civil authorities getting involved in this as well. Here in, it says about that time, notice in the first verse, chapter 12. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. About this time, in chapter 11, the last part, it's speaking there about the prophets coming down from Jerusalem and broadcasting that there's going to be a famine, there's going to be a drought. In Jerusalem, people will be starving, and Paul and Barnabas are taking an offering up to Jerusalem to meet the needs of the people there, the believers. And so this is the time period that we're looking at here. It's a time of stress and difficulty. People are in need, and especially the believers who are being persecuted and unable to, no doubt, find proper work. People are reluctant to hire them and that kind of thing. And all kinds of problems. We might think about our day in which we live, some of the problems that's going on all around us. problems in nature with all these tornadoes, that's unusual, and the political situations and the divisions that we have, even in our country, and you can imagine in some of the other nations, all that's going on. But this was the case back in this day. The Lord Jesus had promised the church he was going to build his church, and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. So he trained his disciples and gave them the power of the Holy Spirit to go and proclaim the gospel to all who would believe and receive. And we've seen a great revival going on in the church. Thousands of people have been added to the church. But now the persecution has come. And Herod, the king, has decided to get his hand bloodied with the death of the saints. Here we find it says he stretched forth his hands to vex, or harass, to persecute certain ones of the church. He killed James, the brother of John. You remember the two sons of Zebedee, fishermen, that Jesus called and said, come follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. And they had worked together with him. They had part of the inner circle that Jesus chose, Peter, James, and John. And now we find James killed with the sword, probably beheaded, more than likely. It's the way they usually did this. And then he arrested Peter. We see here, it pleased the Jews that James was killed. You know, just think of that. He's talking here about basically the ones that's in authority, the Jewish leaders, and those that Herod was trying to impress. You know, he wanted to keep them under his control, and he wanted to have good relations with these other people. And so in order to do that, he's persecuting the church. They didn't want any unrest, you know. Oh, you know, doubt they thought, well, you know, we've had this religion now for thousands of years, right? Here we are all settled, and now here come these rabble-rousers preaching something different. They're talking about a man that was crucified that has risen from the dead. How crazy can you possibly be? No doubt they thought, right? And yet, this is the truth that they were proclaiming. Jesus Christ, our Savior, came forth from the grave. And here we find he took Peter, and he would have killed him, but it was Passover season. Now, during that time, you had the Passover supper. It's around Easter, because that's the reason they translated here in our King James Version, Easter instead of Passover, because it's the same season, right? Usually in April. And at any rate, there was also the days of unleavened bread that followed that. The week after Passover was all considered a time of holiday, right? And holy days. And so they would not kill a prisoner during that time. That's the reason Peter was able to stay in prison rather than be killed. Otherwise, he would have suffered the same thing as James. So we find here the working of Satan behind the scenes, the power of Satan and the power that he has to cause people to do certain things. You know, we've seen here Judas, of course. It talks about Satan entering into him, and he went and denied the Lord Jesus, betrayed him to the authorities. We saw how Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Holy Spirit. Satan filled their hearts to do that, and he's working in the lives of people. And here, no doubt, Herod is no doubt influenced by Satan to persecute the church, to get rid of these leaders so that the church will disappear. But we already know that that's not going to happen, right? Jesus said, no, my church is going to endure. It's going to continue on. I am building the church, and it will prevail. So in spite of all that King Herod and these other men who desired to get rid of the problem, the troublemakers, they couldn't do it. And we see here in this wonderful story how much God intervened in behalf of Peter, in behalf of the church, to do things that they didn't even imagine. You know, isn't it wonderful when God does something that you're just so surprised about? Huh? And here we find that in this story today. This was the first attack from the civil authorities. And the other of the persecutions came from the religious. But now they're getting involved in this. And Herod is going to do his best to make sure that Peter doesn't get away. You see that verse 4? He put him in prison. He delivered him to 4 quaternions of soldiers. That's 16 soldiers, right? Around the clock. 4 at a time. And 2 of them on either side of Peter chained to him. 2 others outside the door making sure that no one could come in or go out. So we had, you know, it was really a foolproof setup, wasn't it? He thought. But he found out, you know, God doesn't always play by our rules, you know. And so it didn't work out as well as he had thought it was going to. But anyway, we see here, this is the setup. And Peter is kept in prison. It says, but prayer was made for him without ceasing. Was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. So this church, which met at the home of John Mark and his mother, they were there all gathered together praying. You know, have you ever been to an all-night prayer meeting, you know, that kind of thing? This, no doubt, is what they were doing. Because it says they were praying without ceasing. So they, you know, they were constantly in prayer, concerned about Peter, no doubt distraught about James and what had happened to him. He was one of the leaders there in the church, one of the apostles, the first of the 12 apostles to die at this time. And so we find prayer being made, the power of prayer. God is going to work in answer to the prayer. Prayer was made, fervent prayer, and constant prayer, and united prayer. So they were all gathered together. And, you know, it says in one place, where 2 or 3 are gathered together in my name, but if pray, I will answer them. And here we find, I don't know how many there were, but quite a group that were meeting there at the church and praying for Peter. And verse 6 says that when Herod would have brought him forth. Okay. So this is at nighttime. The next morning, Peter's going to face judgment. Herod's getting ready to bring him out to do a mock trial and execute him. So before that happens, notice something else to think about here. This is the very last minute, right? You know, sometimes we get impatient. Lord, answer my prayer and please do it quickly, right? Well, no doubt Peter had been there for a while. He was waiting for for these days of unleavened bread to be over with. That's a week. And their people are praying and praying and praying. And nothing happens until the very last night. It says the same night Peter was what? What was he doing? Sleeping. Peter knew what was ahead. He knew he was going to face judgment, but he was sleeping. You know, he had peace in his heart. He knew that the Lord was with him, and he knew that whatever God did was right, so he was sleeping. I heard another story about a prisoner that had the same experience. He said he was a prisoner of war, and every night at 9 o'clock, he would go to sleep. And he said that when he finally got out at the end of it all, he found out that his church back home had been praying for him every night at 8 o'clock, which was the very same time as 9 o'clock when he would go to sleep. And so he just slept like a baby all night long, no matter what was happening and all the danger that he was in, he was able to sleep. And that's the point here. Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the doors. So we find here Peter sleeping peacefully and calm in spite of the facing danger that he had. He was trusting God for all that he was doing. You know, because Peter had already heard the word, right? Jesus had told him, when you are old, you're going to have to follow me, you know. You're going to die when you're old. And here, he's still a vibrant man in full service. And so he's no doubt believing what God has said to him. And so he's not worried. He's going to keep on. You know, someone has said that you're invincible until God gets finished with you, right? Huh? And so here this is what Peter is no doubt taking. And he's able to sleep. People are praying for him. And he's going to be delivered. So he's looking to that. And trusting in God and in his word. So what happens? Verse 7, it says, and behold, the angel of the Lord came to him, and a light shined in the prison. You know, it's wonderful. The light shined in the prison. The angel bringing the light so that the darkness is dissipated. It's a beautiful picture, isn't it? Think of that. God said in the beginning when he created the world, let there be light, and there was light. Here in the prison, the angel shows up and everything brightens up, right? So the angel of the Lord came, a light shined in the darkness, and what did it say? He smote Peter on the side and said, get up, tie on your sandals, get your clothes on, and let's go, right? That's a loose translation, but anyway, that's pretty well what he said. And we find here, Peter was sleeping. He had to wake him up. He had to hit him in order to get him to wake up. He was sound asleep. He raised him up, and he said, let's go. The chains just fell off his hands. The angel said, put on your shoes, and let's go. And verse 9, and he went out. And Peter followed the angel out, and he didn't even realize that this was happening. He said, he thought he was seeing a vision. You know, they had visions back in those days, and Peter had seen a number of them. We talked about it not too long ago, where he saw this vision of the sheet coming down with all the animals on it and all that. And God said, rise, Peter, kill and eat. Well, here, he thought it was something like that. You know, that this was just a dream he was having or a vision. And so he didn't even understand that he was actually being delivered. And he thought he saw a vision. When they came by, they went out the first gate, second ward, And they came into the iron gate that leads into the city, which should be locked, right? Where were the guards? The guards were standing by the door, weren't they? What did they do? They just walked past them? Anyway, you know, that's like when Jesus rose from the dead. They had guards there too, didn't they? Huh? And yet, what did they do? It says they were like dead men, right? They didn't do a thing. And you know, it's wonderful when God begins to work, people are powerless, right? God is able to do whatever he desires. And so here we find this angel. He just walks past the guards, goes on out into the city, opens the door. And so they're going a little bit down the street. It says they passed on through one street. And what happens? The angel departed from him. No fanfare here. The angel's, his job is done, right? Here he is. He's delivered Peter. And he just leaves. Doesn't get any applause or anything else, right? Simple. He's just doing what he's called upon to do. He's a servant of God. Just like we are servants of God. We're talking about that this morning in Sunday school as well. And we are to do what God has called upon us to do and not necessarily expect any praise for it. The angel just went on his way. And so then we find Peter realizes he's safe. So what does he do? The first thing he does is he goes back to the church. He goes to where the people are praying. He knows that they have been there praying for him. And so he wants to reassure them that he's safe. And so he goes up to the door there, Mary's house. Knocks on the door. This little girl, servant girl, Rhoda. It said in English her name would be Rose. Okay. Anyway, Rhoda comes to the door, and Peter, you know, talks to her. He says, let's see. Peter knocked at the door. The damsel came, and when she knew Peter's voice, so he said something to her. He said, it must be him. He said, I'm Peter. I'm here. Open the door, or something of that nature, knocking at the door. And when she knew his voice, she didn't open the door, but she went running back in to tell everybody else, right? Hey, Peter's at the door, you know. And they looked at her. Ah, you must be crazy. Peter's in jail. How could he be at the door? See, and so they kept on, and Peter is still out there knocking on the door, waiting for somebody to come and let him in. And so Peter continued knocking. And when they finally opened the door, they saw him, they were astonished. Now, these people had been praying probably for 7 days or something like that, right? Day and night, round the clock, praying. And when God answers their prayer, what? They are astonished. Surprised, right? You know, do you ever have that? You pray about something, but you don't really believe it's going to happen. Wow. You know? And, well, I think they were so surprised because they thought it was too great a thing to happen, you know. How could this be? Because James has been killed, you know. What's going to happen to Peter? They figured, well, he'll probably have the same fate, right? But here, and think of this. Why did God allow James to be killed and Peter to be released? Anybody have an answer? No. We don't know, do we? God was finished with James. He said, okay, come on home. You know, he took him home. Peter, you still got some work to do. So he sends his angel and sets him free. And Peter here comes and reports back to the church. He tells them, listen now, be quiet. And he declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go show these things to James. Well, I thought James was dead. What do you think? No, this is a different James, right? Okay. You remember James, the brother of Jesus, actually half-brother of Jesus, had been saved, and now he had risen to be the leader, or one of the leaders in the church. He's the chief pastor of the church at Jerusalem. Okay? And so he said, go tell that James what's happened, and tell the brethren. And so then he went away to another place where he would be safe. Okay? So here we find the power of God working, setting this man free, and giving him the opportunity to continue to serve him. And so notice what happened back at the jail. Here we have the next day when they woke up, there was no small stir among the soldiers. What came of Peter? They said, well, you know, he was here. Last time I looked, I was chained to this guy, you know? And now, where is he? He just disappeared. And Herod checked it out, and unfortunately, he couldn't kill Peter, so he killed the soldiers. I don't know, I was wondering if he killed all 16 or did he kill the four? I don't know, whichever ones. I guess he wasn't sure probably when Peter left, so he probably executed all 16 of these soldiers. That's pretty bad, wasn't it? So then Herod, it says, he went down from Judea to Caesarea. Caesarea was the headquarters for the Roman army, right? You remember this is where Cornelius was when Peter went to preach to him. And this is the headquarters. And so Herod goes down there. And then it mentions this little incident about Herod at the end, which shows the power of God's wrath upon this man, beginning in verse 20. Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon. So he came together with them, and they came out and wanted to make peace with him. It says that they made friends with Blastus, the king's chamberlain. You might wonder what that is. It says this was the man that was over the king's bedchamber. He was one of his servants, but I guess an important person that took care of things for him. And they made friends with him, and so he talked to Herod and persuaded him to come and make a speech and to make peace with these people. And so he came all dressed up in his royal robes and everything and made this oration to the people, and they cried out, oh, it's the voice of a god and not of a man. And it says the angel of the Lord smote him, and he was eaten of worms. That's a fitting end for this man, wasn't it? Herod? You remember the family of Herod? This is the most horrible people that you could imagine. His grandfather was the one that tried to kill Jesus when he was born. Another one of his relatives killed John the Baptist. And here Herod killed James and would have killed Peter. But anyway, we find that the wrath of God fell upon him because he didn't give God the glory, taking the glory to himself, rather than giving praise to God for who he is. And the angel of the Lord. You know, it's interesting. It's the same expression that when he came to Peter's prison, it was the angel of the Lord. Here it says the angel of the Lord again. The angel of the Lord smote Peter on his side to wake him up. And here it says he smote Herod, and he was eaten of worms. Boy, it's quite a powerful messenger of God bringing this message to King Herod. And this is the end we find of him. But then the next verse, verse 24, notice this. In contrast, Herod was eaten of worms, he died, but the word of God grew and multiplied. You see? Herod was trying to destroy the church. He was getting rid of the leaders. But it says the word of God grew and multiplied. So God's work goes on. Power of his word. And in spreading to others. And then in the last verse says, Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem. They had been there when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. So we'll find what they do a little bit later on. They're going on a missionary journey. But here, Barnabas and Saul had been to Jerusalem to deliver this charity gift or a gift from the church to the other church in Jerusalem. And now they're coming back and beginning their ministry. And the word of God is going forth in power. You know, it says that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And here we see the word of God going forth, spreading and multiplying among the people. So although Satan's power is great, it's no match for the almighty power of God, is it? Through prayer, believers have access to this wonderful source of power. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. For the one who refuses to accept God's love and grace in Christ, there's nothing left but God's wrath. Since he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. It says in Hebrews, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And then God's word is powerful to bring salvation to everyone who hears it and who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So here we have the power of God working and overcoming anything else that Satan might throw at us. He's able to give us victory, and we can put our faith and trust in him and see the word of God go forth in great power. So may the Lord bless his word to our hearts today. We thank you, dear Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your great power, that you're able to overcome anything that Satan might throw against us. We thank you, Lord, to know that we can put our faith and trust in you and love you and serve you in the way that we should. Help us, our Father. Give us strength. Give us courage. May we not doubt. May we not fear. Help us to put our trust in you. And Lord, bless as we partake of the Lord's Supper. We pray that you will bless as we think about our Lord Jesus and all that he's done for us and sacrificing himself on the cross in our behalf. Lord, how we praise you and thank you for the salvation that we have in him. May your holy will be done, we pray, in Jesus' name. As we come to the Lord's table, we want to say,